Take our Bibles tonight and this evening, the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, two places, Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 28. Read a couple verses and then get into the message tonight. The last several weeks I've been bringing different messages about the home. Again, we did that probably 2 years ago. Taught several aspects about the home. But you know what? That's one of those things that constantly needs work. Constantly, we need to make sure that our homes are what they ought to be. And if you haven't figured it out yet, the home's under attack. Amen? The devil hates the Christian home. And because of that, I mean, he stacks it all against us. I mean, the world's stacked against us. Our flesh is stacked against us. He's coming after the home, trying to destroy it. If there's ever a time where our homes need to be strong, it is now. And so I want to, again, give you some things that I hope will be a blessing to you. Proverbs chapter 20, find your place. If you will, stand for the reverence of the reading of the Bible. I'm going to read one verse here and one verse in chapter 28. The verse in Proverbs chapter 20 is verse 6. Notice what the Bible says. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But here's a question. But a faithful man who can find? And in Proverbs chapter 28, Proverbs chapter 28, the verse I'll be reading out of this chapter is verse 20. Verse 20. The Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you so much for the truth of the Scripture. And God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we teach from your Word tonight. Please speak to us. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you into this service. We want you to do a work in our heart, God. We want to be better for you. We want you to challenge us. We want to be convicted. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord. And through the preaching of the Bible tonight, I pray that you'd speak to hearts. And God, help us to see the areas of our life where we could be better for you. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week I preached a message on seven ways the church can be a blessing to your home. And tonight, that pendulum is going to swing back the other direction. And I'm going to preach on this. Seven ways your home can be a blessing to the church. Seven ways your home can be a blessing to the church. Abraham Lincoln said, "It's in the end, it's not the years of your life that count, it's the life in your years." It goes back to that whole thing I said this morning. It's not just about the destination, folks. It's the journey. And on this journey called life, God wants for us as Christians to have the proper spirit, the proper attitude toward our local church. Here's what I said last week. I said, how can the church be a blessing to your home? First of all, families are one to Christ. Second of all, it teaches God's divine order for the home. Number three, families are given an opportunity to serve the Lord together. It preaches against sins that hurt the family. It's a place where Christ is preeminent. There's accountability in the church, and there's united prayer in the church. And those are ways the church can be a blessing to your home. Now, you know what? I believe as a home, we need to be a blessing to our church. Remember this, folks. The Christian life should not just be a give-me mentality. Now, we do, praise God, get a lot of things for being involved in a good local assembly. But you know what? It's just not a matter of taking. It's a matter of giving. All right? And let me just say this. In your life, learn to be a giver, not a taker. And I believe you are. Amen? But I just want to give you some things again that will remind you. I said this to you last week. I'm going to say it again. That the church is important to the home and the home is important to the church. God's orchestrated the church to be a blessing to the home and the home to be a blessing right back to the church. They work hand in hand. There isn't to be a divide between the two. There isn't to be a disconnect between the two. There should not be an overemphasizing one above the other. And when it comes to the church and the home, the key word to all that and to everything we do in life is that of balance. I'm all for the family, but not to the discredit of the church. I'm all for the church, but not to the discredit of the family. And by the way, you should never have to choose between the church and the home. You can have both. Amen? You can have both. So let me give you some things tonight. Number one, how can your home strengthen your church? You strengthen your church with your faithfulness. With your faithfulness. Again, that goes back to the verses I just read to you. Did you notice what those verses have in common? But a faithful man who can find, the question was asked in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Psalms chapter 12, verse 1. The psalmist says this, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of man." And I know I'm preaching to tonight. This is the Sunday evening crowd. This is the one that, you know what, you've kind of gone above and beyond. You're here this evening. You're back again. You know, everybody thinks you're crazy. You go to church how many times a week? I mean, you know, you do what to the church? Absolutely. I know who I'm preaching to tonight. And I'm thankful. Let me just remind you of some things. Remember the question here that was posed? A faithful man who can find? The statistics say that 19.8% of Americans faithfully attend church. And by the way, faithfulness is defined as once a week. And if you haven't, and again, this is proven by statistics and also just proven by observation. But faithful church attendance is in decline. By 2050, if the trends continue, those who faithfully attend church will drop below 10%. And again, this is kind of a little bit of a wide net, but overall, that seems to be the case. The decline is attributed to an older population of faithful attendees passing away or being physically unable to attend. Essentially, fewer and fewer with each passing generation are attending church. The younger generations of adults today see church attendance as unnecessary, non-essential, and a waste of time. Is it no wonder our generation's in a mess, folks? Is it no wonder that this upcoming generation are doing things that they're so ignorant of the heritage of our country? Why is that? You know why? Because to them, to their parents, church attendance was just a take-it-or-leave-it attitude. Let me tell you one of the best things you can do, and I mean this, folks, one of the biggest blessings you are to this local assembly and to this pastor is just being here. Just being here. Amen? And by the way, praise God for that. Praise God for faithful people. And I'm so thankful for those of you that, you know what, you are faithful. And but let me just encourage you, keep it up. Amen? Keep it up. What's the Bible say? So much more. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some ends. But so much more as you see the day approaching. What's the day that the Bible's talking about there? It's talking about the day that we see our Savior. Amen? I'm going to tell you, if you haven't figured it out, the day is fast approaching. And so much the more. Let me tell you the main reason we ought to be faithful to church. The main reason our home ought to be a blessing to the church through faithfulness is this. First and foremost, because God commanded it. Amen? That's why. What should be our main motivation as Christians for anything we do? Because God tells us to do it. By the way, let me just give you a reality check tonight. Okay? God has a right to tell us what to do. Oh yeah, He does. Amen? You know why? First and foremost, because He's our Creator. But second of all, if you're saved, that means this. We belong to Him. Remember we talked about possession this morning? A father, the ownership of fatherhood? Well, guess what? If you're saved, the Bible says we belong to Him. We are His possession. And you know what? As His possession, He gets a right to tell us what to do. Now, God does bless us with the free will, and based upon our choices, determines a lot of things in life. But just because God gives you free will doesn't mean you should not submit it to Him. Amen? You ought to submit your free will to God and do what God tells you to do. And so God commands for us to be faithful. Second of all, how about this, church? Because God is faithful to us. Amen? God, let me tell you one thing. Mankind, we're a mess a lot of times. We ride that spiritual roller coaster ride. Some days we're up, some days we're down. And I don't know about you, I have never wanted to be unfaithful to God, but there's been times I have been. But let me tell you one thing that isn't true. God has always never, or God has never failed me. Amen? God is always faithful to us, and He has always proved His faithfulness. By the way, you know what you find out when you're reading the Bible? The things, the two words you can't separate. You can't separate faithfulness and godliness. They go hand in hand. They're an attribute of our God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore. I love that, by the way. Know therefore. Okay? There's just some things that you can take to the bank with you. Amen? Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God. So that's the first thing God says you need to know is that I'm God. Okay? Alright? There's none else beside me. I'm the only one. So listen, get that in your mind. Okay? I don't care what the secularist says. I don't care what the atheist says, what the agnostic says. They're going to find out one of these days that they were wrong and the Bible's right. Amen? Amen. I know that I am God. And then He says this, the faithful God. which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Did you see what God, the first thing He described Himself as the faithful God. He is faithful to us, folks. Lamentations chapter 3. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Amen. Listen to me, folks. Even if it was little, it's more than we deserve, but God's faithfulness isn't little, okay? It's not mediocre. It's not even good. You know what it is? It's great. Amen. It's great. Let me tell you, alright, why you ought to be faithful to the church house, because God commanded it and because God's been faithful to me. And if He's been faithful to me, surely, out of the debt I owe Him for what He's done for me, I can be faithful to Him. Amen? And so, that will strengthen your church. It's a way your home can be a blessing. Number one is faithfulness. Number two, at a home, can strengthen your church with your prayers. With your prayers. Now, I know it seems like it's... Now, preacher, you seem to say the same things over and over. Let me just say this about God, okay? God is not so complicated that He's got this, you know, list of 1,000 things He wants for us to figure it out. Have you kind of figured it out that as you read the Bible, as you hear the preaching, for the most part, it's just the same things over and over and over again? God repeats Himself a lot. You know why? Because we as human beings are slow to get it sometimes, alright? I mean, repetition. Strengthen your church with your prayers. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort thee therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And then the Apostle Paul says to the church of Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Let me say this, folks. Prayer is something every Christian can be involved in. Every Christian. And let me tell you why the devil fights us so hard on prayer. Because you know what? It's one of the most powerful weapons we have in our spiritual arsenal. And you know what? Truth be told, you can't always see the results from it. But again, here's what I always say. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. Doesn't mean it's not effective. So the most greatest influences in this life are invisible forces you cannot see. Let me just say this, folks. Prayer is one of those things every Christian ought to be a part of, and particularly when it comes to that of your local assembly. Amen? John R. Rice, the famous evangelist of yesteryear, said this, all of our failures are prayer failures. Andrew Murray, who wrote a very famous book on prayer and was a mighty preacher, said, the man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelism in history. Charles Spurgeon, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. And maybe the greatest thing you can do for your church, other than being faithful, is to be a prayer warrior. A prayer warrior. And folks, let me just say this. The devil hates this church. He hates it. Okay? Let me tell you, when we set up shop here in Princeton, you know what we did? We came to town and rolled up our sleeves, went to work, still going to work. And let me tell you what we're busy about doing here at White River Baptist Church is stealing souls out of the devil's backyard. And if you don't think for one second that he's just going to let that go unchallenged, that he's not going to try to rise up and stop this church, you don't know much about your enemy. Amen? He hates his church. He hates everything about it. We're on his target list. He's trying to take us down. Let me tell you, that sounds a little bit intimidating, doesn't it? But you know what we have? Praise God. We got something more powerful than the devil, more formidable than his plans. We have the power of prayer. Amen. Let me tell you something. We got to utilize that. Amen?
Yes.
Okay? And I'm imploring you. You don't even understand the importance of what it is to pray for your church. Amen? And by the way, when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about what is the church? It's the people. It's the assembly. Alright? You need to be praying for one another. You ought to be praying for one another by name. Okay?
You say, well, that's just, come on, Pete. Listen, we have no problem remembering the things we want to remember. We have no problem remembering the things that are important to us. Okay? If they're important to us, we'll remember them. By the way, there's nothing wrong with writing stuff down. In fact, and again, I apologize. I told you I've been doing this. I was going to do this. And I'm so sorry I've neglected this. And I apologize. But we're working on it. Miss Carol's actually helping me with it. All right? I want to get something done. I'm going to ask a lady to help me get it done. All right? But she's going to help us get the church directory out so that we can have the names and of that of our folk and of the phone numbers and emails, so if you want to contact one another. But listen, it's just not about a contact list, it's about a prayer list. Okay, it's about a prayer list. And let me just encourage you, pray for your church. Pray for your fellow brothers and sisters. Amen? Listen, and again, I'm not saying this to be self-serving, but please pray for me as your pastor. I need your prayers. Amen? Listen, folks, I want to make it to the finish line strong. I want to. But I'm going to tell you, for preachers who are trying to do right and preach right, let me tell you, there's a lot of pitfalls out there. And I'm not saying this to not hold myself accountable. All I'm going to say is this: it makes it easier for me to make it to the finish line strong if you pray for me as my people. Amen? And so I'm begging you, you can be such a blessing to your church by praying for it. Amen? And so we'll get that directory out to you soon. And use that as a prayer list. But even before then, I mean, listen, it's not that hard to write down those that of the church. We're not a huge church, and for the most part, it's pretty easy to figure out who we all are. And so write those things down and pray for your church. All right, number three, how can you strengthen your church as a home? You can strengthen your church with your spirit, with your spirit. Psalms 122, verse 1, the Bible says this: I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I love that. What was the attitude here when it came to being at church? He was glad. Maybe through part of this situation we just come through, I don't know about you, but in my heart, showed me the importance of how much I need the church. All right. I mean, I know we improvised a little bit, and we did meet some out on the church property. But there's nothing like every week, multiple times a week, being right here together as a church family. There's nothing like that. You can't duplicate it. Amen. That's why, you know what? God commanded for it to be done. Let me say this. You know what our attitude ought to be when it comes to the church? Gladness. Your spirit will strengthen the church. Let me show you some verses here that talk about the type of spirit you ought to have. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, by the way, who's he writing to? Brethren. He's writing to church members. Okay? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, I'm not going to teach on this tonight because I just spent a whole Thursday night teaching on it not that long ago. But this idea of the spirit of meekness, and that word meekness is referring to the humility of our minds. Okay, it's just not an outward humility; it's an inward humility. Okay, and let me tell you again, folks. One of the things that will destroy a church faster than anything is stinking pride. Pride will destroy a church so quick and so fast. I mean, listen, if it could take down the highest archangel in heaven, you think for one second we're exempt from it? I don't think so. Okay? And let me tell you what combats that. That of meekness. Meekness. Be humble. By the way, that's a spirit you've got to have. It's a work of a fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. But listen to me, okay? Notice what the verse says. If a man be overtaken in a fault. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to be overtaken in faults, okay? Someone's going to offend you. Someone's going to say something to you. Someone's going to do something that, you know what, going to go against who you are. And by the way, maybe they're in the wrong. Maybe they are. But you know what we've got to do? How a mature Christian responds? In the spirit of meekness. And let me tell you one of the blessings of being able to pastor people is that, you know what? You're not dealing with a bunch of spiritual babies. Okay? Let me say this, okay? A pastor's job should not be going around trying to pat the bot, not literally, amen, but of a bunch of spiritual babies, okay? That shouldn't be the preacher's job. The preacher's job is to try to feed you. Take you from where you're at, start with that sincere milk of the Word, but before long, start giving you strong meat so that you as a Christian can grow spiritually. And by the way, you know what's a blessing to a pastor? When there is some situations going on, and guess what? People can work them out. There's spiritual maturity enough that someone says, you know what? Let's talk about something. Let's deal with this. Let's work it out. Okay? The spirit of meekness. All right? And you can strengthen your church with that spirit. How about this? Ephesians chapter 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Again, what do we see here? The spirit of wisdom. And what's that word wisdom mean? It simply means you being able to take the principles of the Scripture, the knowledge of the Scripture, okay, what it says, and live it out in a practical way in your life. Okay? And folks, let me just say this, okay? The Bible's not just a book we come, man, that was a great sermon, preacher, thank you for it. No, the Bible is a book that we can hear, and let me tell you why you want to hear it, so you can live it, okay? So you can use it as a guidebook in every aspect of your life. And when you live that way, that's called wisdom. And let me tell you what we need. A blessing you can be to your church is if you have that spirit about you, the spirit of wisdom. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh." And what do we see here? We see that that the church of Jesus Christ worships God in the Spirit of worship. And that is us with our spirit, and yes, with our bodies, worshiping the God of heaven. And so these are all different spirits that ought to be brought into and that can be a blessing to the church of Jesus Christ. Now again, let me just tell you right now, let me just give you a fair warning. The devil doesn't want those kind of spirits in the church. Oh, he wants spirits in the church all right, but not the right kinds. He wants the spirit of bitterness going through the church. He wants the spirit of anger going through the church. He wants the spirit of jealousy going through the church. That's what he wants, the spirit of offense going through the church, okay? And from time to time, let me tell you, because of people we're trying to reach, sometimes people's going to bring that in. But that's why, as a mature church body, if the majority of the church have the right spirit, I'm going to tell you, we can help those that have the wrong spirit, amen? And so listen, you can be a blessing to your church by having the right spirit. All right, let me give you something else here. You can strengthen your church, number four, by with your involvement. With your involvement. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus and to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father." And you know, he's writing to the church here. And he commended these men here, or was writing to the church of Thessalonica. Paul and his team, if you will, Silvanus and Timotheus, were commending the church of Thessalonica for their, what he calls, their work of faith and labor of love. And I mentioned this morning. I won't spend a lot of time on it, okay? But let me say this. When you get involved in your church, that strengthens your church, okay? And let me tell you, I'm trying and I want to, and we do, and we will even have more as far as opportunities of involvement in the church. We've got the nursery that the ladies work in. We've got the young people's classes. We got the music ministry. We got our soul winning ministry. We got the church cleaning ministry. We have our youth meetings, our youth activities, our nursing home ministry, our big days, our church meals, our revival meetings, our fair outreach, our Heritage Days outreach. Let me tell you something, folks. If you want something to do, we have stuff to do. Okay? And let me tell you what makes us strong together is that, you know what? We get involved in the work of the church. By the way, everybody at somehow, on some level, ought to be involved in serving in the local church. Okay? Listen, there's no small jobs when it comes to God. What was the psalmist said that, talking about he'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord? Okay? To him, taking care of the door, literally. By the way, we kind of basically had that ministry here too, okay? You know what? That was a big deal to him. Let me just say, if you ladies that take of your time and clean the church every week, listen, God takes note of that. That's not a small, menial task. God sees, God knows, you're being a blessing to your local church. I'm going to tell you, God will have a reward for you for that. Amen? Those of you that are involved in the aspects that make this church happen. Let me just say this, alright? If a church is going to be successful, it's not a one-man pony show. I can tell you that. Okay? Now listen, as the pastor, I ought to lead in that because I'm the leader. But let me just say this. The reason God's blessing this church is not just because I'm doing things, y'all are doing stuff. Okay? It's a team effort. Amen? That's why I like the sport of football so much. Because it's such a team effort. I mean, you can have the greatest quarterback ever, but have a lousy front line, and that team ain't going to do nothing. You can have a great offense, but their defense stinks, and they're going to lose. Okay? What makes something like that come together is that everybody does their part. Okay? Let me just say this. When it comes to the Church of Jesus Christ, let's all do our part. Let me tell you what a blessing is. When my wife says, hey, I need to talk to the ladies about doing this or this. And I look up here, and almost this whole section is filled with ladies. What a blessing. Well, I call a men's meeting. Guys, we got to talk about something. We go back, most of that whole room is filled with the men. All right? Listen, folks, thank you for your involvement. Amen? But listen to me. As our church grows, we're going to have to step it up some more. Okay? I mean, especially as we get ready to transition to our new property, our new building. You know what? We're going to need a lot of hands to get that building up. Okay? And once that building project gets done, by the way, let me tell you why we're building a new building, okay? It's just not so that, you know, we can have a little bit more elbow room. Well, that's part of it, okay? Let me tell you, the reason we want to have a bigger building is so we can have a bigger ministry. Reach more people, okay? And truth be told, we're a little bit limited based upon your building size as far as many people you can reach. Let me just say this. We need to have a lot more than just four Sunday school classes. Okay? Guess what? We're going to need Sunday school teachers. Guess what? We need to, Lord willing, we can get back in the nursing home soon. We need to start a couple more nursing home ministries. Okay? Now again, I'm going to help. I'm going to be involved. But I can't do it all myself. I've got to have your help. Amen? And so I'm going to tell you, when you get involved, you strengthen your church. Amen? Number five, I'm just going to briefly say this, but you can strengthen your church financially. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Okay? And folks, again, I brag on you all the time. And by the way, what a blessing it is when God's people get this idea of giving back to the Lord's work. By the way, God's plan for financing the local assembly is through the tithes and offerings of His people. Okay? Listen, it's not through yard sales. It's not through bake sales. Okay? It's not through fundraisers. God's plan to finance His work is through the tithes and offerings of His people. That's the biblical pattern to do it. Amen? Let me just say, thank you for being a giving church. Thank you for that. Okay? And for being only a church our size, let me tell you, you are a giving church. Amen? And you know what? God sees, God knows, and God will bless you for that. I can't explain God's economy. I don't understand how that you seem to give, but yet you seem to receive more than you give. Listen to me, folks. Don't try to explain God's economy. Just be involved in it. Amen? And let me tell you, the best thing you can do as an individual, as a Christian, is invest in things that are eternal. Amen? Let me tell you why we can have 14 missionaries that a church our size, 4 years old, can support at $100 a month, a $1,400 a month missions budget, a church that's not even 4 years old. You know why? Because y'all get what it means to invest in things that are eternal. That's why. Okay? Let me just encourage you. Let's keep it up. Amen? Keep it up. You strengthen your church that way. You allow your church to go forward more that way. I was talking this morning to one of the members here, and we were talking about biblically the areas of giving. And the areas we have in giving of our church, we have our general budget that keeps the general bills of the church paid. We have our missions budget, and we have our building fund. By the way, where did I come up with those at? Did I just pull them out of my hat? Let's do this, and this. It's biblical. Okay? Those three areas of giving are biblical giving. Okay? And listen, that's the program we have set up here. And by the way, when you get involved in it, it works. Thank you, church, for being involved. Let me just say this. Keep it up. Amen? Keep it up. And God, I promise, will bless you for that. So you strengthen your church financially. Number six, you strengthen your church, I like this, with rave reviews. Rave review. Say, that's a tongue twister, is it not? What's up with these preachers trying to alliterate everything, right? Rave reviews. Psalms 107, listen to what the Bible says. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Listen to this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You know what God says? Listen, when God does something good for you, hey, say something about it. Amen? Open up your mouth and talk about it. Psalms 100, I love this psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with what? With gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It's He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Listen to me, church. Let your life be the greatest advertisement for this church. Let your life. Now, should you open up your mouth and talk about it? Absolutely. By the way, those of you that are in business know this is true. What is, especially in a small community, what's the greatest form of advertising? Okay? So let's say it together. What is it?
Word of mouth. Word of mouth.
There you go. I went and measured a job this week down in Fort Branch. And I always ask the folks when they come and want me to give them an estimate for a job. I said, hey, how'd you hear about me? And the guy's like, I really don't know. My wife heard somewhere about you, and she heard that you're one of the best in the area. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that to brag on myself. I'm just saying, you know what that is? Apparently, I did good for somebody because then they pass it on to somebody else. And let me tell you, if that's true in the business world, that's even more true when it comes to the Church of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, folks, people are looking for something that's real. Okay, here's what I call this. This cotton candy Christianity out there. This stuff that only appeals to the motions, but there's no real meat behind it. All right? I'm not saying cotton candy's not good, but I'll be honest, I don't know how y'all are. Maybe the kids wouldn't agree with this, but what do they know anyway? All right? Okay, cotton candy, I can maybe eat a handful a year. Maybe. Okay? I mean, listen to me, folks. I'm not saying it don't taste good, but you cannot live on it. Okay? It will not help you grow where you need to be physically. And let me tell you, this cotton candy, all about feelings, Christianity, yeah, that draws some people in for a time, but listen to me, when they hit the hard times in life, you know what they need? They need something that's real. Alright? And let me tell you, folks, again, you know what? We got something real going on here. Alright? And listen to me. Hey, you, with your, the way you talk about this church, the right types of things, and your life being an advertisement. Let me tell you, I'm not saying soul winning don't work. We got people in our church that wasn't here a year ago because the people of this church were out knocking doors. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but that's not how the majority of people come. The majority of people come when somebody else they know talks about the church, works on them, brings them, they see what's going on. That's how the majority of the people come. Amen? And so, listen to me. Bless your church with rave reviews. Okay? I'm not saying there's not going to be negative things that happen from time to time. But listen to me. If something negative happens, leave it here. You don't need to be going and talking about it to your family that never comes to church, but all the negative things going down at the church house. Okay? You know how it is in your family. Okay, come on, husbands and wives. Do you really want, you know, someone playing a recording back, if it existed, which probably if you had your smartphone in your pocket, it does exist, okay, of every conversation you've ever had? Okay? Come on now. We know there's negatives in life, but let me tell you, when those come, we deal with them, we move on, okay? But listen, don't talk about those negatives. We don't ignore negatives, I'll tell you that. We don't sweep stuff under the rug. We deal with stuff. Let me tell you, you compare them both, there are way more positives than there are negatives, amen? Way more, without even comparison, all right? So don't talk about the negatives. Don't let the devil use you to be a negative influence instead of a positive influence. Talk up what is happening at White River Baptist Church, amen? Talk about what has happened, what is happening, and praise God, what's going to happen, amen? They say if you have a good experience at a restaurant, you'll tell one person. But if you have a bad experience, you'll tell 10 people. Okay? That's human nature. Because we thrive on negativity. Let me say this. Don't let that be true when it comes to your church. And last of all, let me give you this. Strengthen your church by reproducing yourself. Reproducing yourself. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let me tell you what God calls us to do as Christians, alright? He calls us, the Bible says in the book of John, to produce fruit. You know what that fruit is? We reproduce what God has done in us. Okay? By the way, if something's healthy, what's it do? It reproduces. It's a sign of life. It's a sign of health when something can reproduce. Alright? And let me tell you, that's what God expects for us to do as Christians. Be reproducing what He did in our life, telling others about what He did for us so He can do it for them. Amen? Amen. And so listen to me. That's what we got to be busy about doing. Amen? It's reproducing what God has done in our life, at least giving people an opportunity so that they can hear and be saved themselves. So how about it, church? Let's let our homes be a blessing to this assembly right here. Amen? And again, be very careful. And I'll go back to what I said this morning. Men, walk guard around your homes. Okay, walk guard around them. Don't allow the devil to bring something bad, something negative, that's going to destroy your home and also then have an effect on the Church of Jesus Christ. Don't let it happen. Amen? Be diligent. Be vigilant about it. All right? And let's make sure that our homes are a blessing to the church. Let's